Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erioki. Join me and my friends as we explore the darker side of the Sooner State.
And I'm here again with Jeff Provine, longtime friend of the show. And we're going to be talking about Haunted Oklahoma, his new book, part two. So take it away, Jeff.
All right. Well, we were just talking about there being no shortage of spooky stories in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. which we did a lot of kind of the older historical ones. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's modern stories, too, that I hadn't known. So one of the big things about legend tripping is it being so localized. So
yes.
Even here in Oklahoma City, if you are from the east side of town, you go out to the Purple Church.
Right.
Yeah. And other people, I have no idea what you're talking about. Purple Church is like mm-hmm. paint, something like, well, kind of. And mm-hmm. yeah. But like my friends from the western side of Oklahoma City, I have no idea what you do. You go up to Lake Overholzer and try to see if you can see the White Lady. And
yeah.
Everybody's got these things.
And more, you go out to Kitchen Lake.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Or Crybaby Bridge.
Mm-hmm. North side, you go up to Guthrie, check out the old boys' home. And
yep.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. there's that very localized thing, which
oh, yeah.
A lot of this was so much of my research just kind of throwing out wide nets, seeing, well, what do people do locally,
mm-hmm.
right? Like down in Ardmore, the Mr. Apple's mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
So you go sneak over to Mr. Apple, who's one of the kind of city founders, and there's different versions of it. Apparently, what you used to do is break into it and open up the casket,
at
him in the face, which, like, teenagers were tough back then.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Like, I get nervous if I'm speeding and I see a cop. Like, you know, it's like, I can't imagine breaking into a mausoleum and being like, we're going to pop this casket open. We're going to look at this old man. Like, man.
Now it's a little bit tamer. What you're supposed mm-hmm. to do is just walk around it. And, mm-hmm. Every time you pass the front, you say, Mr. Apple, can your daughter come out to play?
Mm-hmm.
And the third time you do that, something comes and attacks your neck.
Oh, good grief. Wow. Yeah.
Not joking around.
Yeah.
The weird thing about that is I tried to dig into the genealogy as much, and I couldn't find that they had any kids. So Mr. and Mrs. Apple just lived their lives out in mm-hmm. the hotel. And,
yeah.
So somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that, but mm-hmm. like... That's kind of a mean thing to threaten, like, hey.
No kidding. Yeah, so like, yeah.
I'd strangle you, too, if
exactly.
I didn't have
any kids. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and you're, yeah. like, being a jerk at my grave. Like, yeah, come here. I'll strangle you.
And there, I conjecture, I don't know if this has any background, but maybe it's Mrs. Apple that's doing it. She was
maybe.
A very, very cool lady, super fastidious. Mm-hmm. She would collect paper tissues that mm-hmm. people had blown their nose in and stuff, and she would wash them and hang them up to dry.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, like, what year was it that they were alive?
So they would have been alive 19-teens, 20s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So once Ardmore kind of started getting going with the railway, and then mm-hmm. He was a lawyer and moved in and started really getting going on everything in town, especially oil. Like once they had ideas that oil could be there, he poured everything he had into it. Because mm-hmm. like that's what makes a town in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
And
so they were pretty, probably pretty affluent, right?
Yeah, they were. Which is weird because like I don't know if she grew up poor or just mm-hmm. is awesome. I'm super fastidious myself too,
yeah.
so I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. But like she would steal crackers and stuff off the table. Like they could eat mm-hmm. in the restaurant. Like he owned the restaurant.
Like right.
he owned the
she'd
hotel.
Take the little packages.
Yeah, and she'd
yeah.
steal the crackers.
Yeah.
And like anything not nailed down, she'd,
yeah.
she'd take it. And like,
you
that's
don't interesting.
Have to. You guys are
right.
rich.
Yeah.
But I guess that's how you stay rich. Is
right.
You don't,
yeah.
You don't blow it. So.
And that makes sense if she came from a background where she didn't have a lot.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it was kind of like that thing of this could go away you know.
That's true.
Yeah. But so. I was thinking if they were affluent, maybe it was kind of a, kind of the idea that people basically pick on whoever is the outsider. And so maybe that's where the urban legend came from. Probably, just them being, oh, they're the rich people in town.
Yeah, like, let's go mess with their tomb.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea.
That's true. Once you get into the kind of early stages of the legends, like who knows what's really going on.
Right.
Which could segue to that. If you're up in Bartlesville, what you do is head up a little bit north over to the Labadee Mansion.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited to talk about this.
And there's tons of legend all about, you know, how Mr. and Mrs. Labadee, they tried to have kids for a long, long time from the 1880s and 90s. And like, you can go see their tombs. Like, there's the Labadee Family Cemetery there. And so, you know, very good urban legend because there's so much obvious truth to it. But as soon as you start digging to it, it gets some problems. So,
yeah.
But first, the urban legend. The urban legend was finally that Mrs. Labadee did have a child, but his complexion turned out way darker. So everybody started looking at their hired man, who was African-American, and Mr. Labadee, Frank Labadee, went silently insane, was one article that I read about it. So he just got up, walked over, grabbed the gun, and grabbed the kid and tossed the kid in the creek, and then went after this guy and shot him, and then tossed the gun in the creek too. Just dealt with it, and then burned the whole house down with him and his wife inside. So very spooky,
very
wild
dark
story.
Yeah.
And not a lick of truth.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I almost gave it away, but he was Frank Labadee Sr.
Okay.
But they had four kids. Yeah. And like, no problem. That kids,
yeah.
So that, I don't know where
four,
that part
yeah.
came from.
Yeah.
In fact, he never actually lived in that house. He and his wife lived elsewhere. That was one of the sons who became the first lawyer, first person to attain a law degree in Osage Nation.
Wow.
Yeah, I learned that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I went to school up in Michigan. So that was his big house up on the hill, and it did, burn, but to my understanding, nobody died in the burn. It just, like, caught fire after.
Right.
Because it was kind of his country homes, and he also had, of course, his house and office in the city, and so they empty a lot of times. And when you're not watching it, I guess sometimes it happens. So, but man, what a story to like.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's true. Like, you can find the family cemetery and they're buried there. And the famous hired hand, right? All this adultery stuff. Like, no, he's buried there too. Like, he was part of the family. So, So just, I'm sure that both of them are very upset that people keep saying that Frank Sr. killed him. And like, no, we're
right.
Some of the legends is that you will see this fellow who was shot carrying the shotgun that murdered him walking around and will come after you if you don't. Which, of course, couldn't be some night watchman who happens to see some kids out there and goes to chase them off. But, I mean, lean into the legend, I guess. And you can hear the cries of babies out there, and so which quite possibly. But a lot of people do try to sneak up there, which don't. That's trespassing.
Yeah, private property.
Yeah, but you can go to the abandoned Oklahoma website, and they had some folks go up there.
They got some great pictures of, like, the structures and everything,
And it does look super spooky, which, I mean, if I were a rural teenager looking for something to do.
Like, that would be top on the list. Oh, like,
Let's go up there and have all kinds of good times.
Get scared.
Yeah. As the legends were coming out, like, time and again, the family, that was my grandfather. Like, of course he had children.
Yeah.
So, routinely, they would send in letters to the newspaper and so forth. So, like, there was a Green Country magazine put out this big urban legend thing. And so they sent in a letter saying, hey, that's a great story, but here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
Nothing. I guess at least having a story is more interesting than
I guess so,
something.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
otherwise nobody would talk about this old burned down house
still to this day.
Like Kitchen Lake Witch, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's just a house out there that burned at some point. Or is it?
Or is it? Yeah.
Don't want to ruin that for anybody else. But yeah, tons and tons and tons of those stories. I mean, you can, I would love to do another Haunted Oklahoma. So maybe, maybe we'll get some pitches together and just from, what we've gathered, like, I could easily, just from these notes, put together another one. Like, we didn't even talk about the healing rock up at Skiatook. what's some other weird stuff? I just learned about Lake Hefner has a his old duck pond is haunted. Kind of like crybaby biz. Yeah,
I did not know that.
I don't know. I hadn't heard of that either. But the Witch's Arrow out in Mustang. Mm-hmm. So all kinds of stuff.
I literally just saw someone post something about that.
Oh, really?
Yesterday or today. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard about it. Mm-hmm. So I like it just that kind of and urban legends to me are especially fascinating. I think because I think there's an element to it that it's kind of about proving how brave you are as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. if you can go do this thing and face down this urban legend kind of situation. And I like the, like you said, like the localized
yeah.
thing about it. Like it's embedded and entwined with a very specific area's history, whether or not that history is fictionalized, right. you know, or dramatized a bit. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, or a lot.
Well, yeah. Whatever makes it fun, right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, now we have the internet, so mm-hmm. we can get in this information, which a lot of just my work's been as a folklorist. So like, I just want to get these stories down because. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of kids, like, I got computer with games on it. Like, why do I
right.
need to go anywhere? So mm-hmm. People age out. And a lot of these, I guess, are just oral histories. So if we don't get them written down, I mean, a few generations, we might not know anything about the
right. animals. And, right. Know.
So, well, that's kind of urban legend stuff. Also really cool, we have stuff that is absolutely verifiable, mm-hmm. Like the USS Batfish.
Okay.
Yeah, which if you haven't gone out to Muskogee there, we've got old, I was going to say World War II submarine, but it served decades beyond World War II.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it came out tail end of World War I and did a whole bunch of work doing civilian missions and things out, helping people in Latin America in the mm-hmm. 1920s, back in the service in World War II, and just... for a long time until finally, of course, decommissioned when they had the nuclear subs coming in. And, mm-hmm. Although I was interviewing the director over there, and he was telling me that routinely they would have guys come in and they'd be like, man, we should have kept the diesels. Like, they were so much quieter.
And, that's funny. So, oh, my gosh.
What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah.
Which, when sometimes they said this, he actually caught an EVP of a voice saying, you bet.
Really?
Yeah. So
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so sailors are very attached to their ships.
Yeah.
And lots of them like to hang out at the USS Batfish. They have tons and tons of stories.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so much. You can rent it out for like birthday parties and mm-hmm. things and sleepovers.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
A lot of paranormal teams are like, well, could we do an investigation while we're there? Mm-hmm. And the guys are like, sure, I mean, you're renting the place. And
keep, yeah.
Yeah, so tons of investigation teams.
That's so cool.
So if you ever want
to... Yeah.
A really cool, definitely going to find something investigation... Yeah. Yeah, just now, go rent it for the weekend.
Where is that one?
So that's out in Muskogee.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Famous, there's not really a super Oklahoma connection to it.
Okay.
But they were looking to decommission it, and mm-hmm. there's always the question of, well, what are we going to do with it? Or, you know, I mean, because it's a lot of scrap metal, and
it could yeah.
be valuable as yeah. just that. And other people are like, no, you know, that's mm-hmm. I'm sure they would have had a riot if they tried to break
oh,
that
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oklahoma leaders got together and said, mm-hmm. well, we'll adopt it. And they brought it up the Arkansas River and managed to put it in dry dock up on there. And now you can come see it. And it's right next
that's so
to
cool.
One of the flagpoles for the USS Oklahoma. And they have kind of okay. a whole naval park. It's mm-hmm. really, really nice.
That is really cool. I did not even know that that was a thing that we had here.
Yeah. So, which, I mean, just the touring. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So once again, we'll get that RV
yes, definitely.
Tour together.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would cost, but...
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Or if anybody has 3 weeks that they could dedicate
exactly,
to,
yeah.
to that.
We'll do it when we all retire.
That sounds good. So, but yeah, tons of things, and they've had figures walking through. Time and again, they'll walk through the submarine, you know, and see people ahead of them. They're like, hey, you know, we're closed up. You got to leave. And the shadow will move on. So they'll go after him all the way up to the end of the sub. And there's nobody there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Tons and tons of EVPs. Folks who investigate there like to bring, like, memorabilia from the 1940s mm-hmm. and stuff and kind of spread it out. And a lot of stuff gets moved around.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. That's wild. Oh. So
there was one set of investigators. They were talking about how they... just brought a list of actresses from the mm-hmm. 1940s and were like, do you like this person? And sometimes it'd say yes or no. And like,
mm-hmm. so, oh my gosh.
I'd like to talk about movies.
Yeah, EVP. No kidding.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So what other weirds? Well, I guess we're with stories you wouldn't really talk about. One thing that completely blew my mind was the amount of Spanish Empire and Mexican Empire activity in Southwest Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they had like a paragraph about it in your Oklahoma history class, but like serious entire legends and things that I had genuinely no idea. But
yeah.
I mean, there were lots of trade routes going through
gosh.
Here. And not that far away from, Albuquerque and Santa Fe, which were giant metropolises for their time.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of stuff going on up here, which definitely recorded. I guess most famous is the Iron Door out in the Wichita Mountains.
That sounds so familiar. So
I think that's been on an episode before, but a whole episode about that, because it's wild. There's different legends. Some people say it was Spanish miners. Some people say it was a heist pulled by Bell Starr. And some people say Jesse James. Anyway, and the version with the outlaws is that they robbed a train. They tore the vault door off, and they took it down to the Wichita Mountains, stashed everything in a cave, a little shallow cave, which they have tons of. Mm-hmm. Wichita Mountains, no problem finding one of those.
Oh, my gosh.
Installed this door over it, and then they were going to come back, and then never got the chance.
Oh, wow.
So the other story is that it's much, much older, Mexican or minor, Spanish miners.
Right.
Doing this gold stuff, which, of course, I'm always like, oh, we don't have gold in Oklahoma. But true story, there have been several gold rushes here in Oklahoma. There was one here in Norman that didn't pan out. They found microscopic amounts of gold.
Yeah.
Huge waste of money, which is unfortunate. But,
yeah.
A few decades ago, there was a guy out in the...
Oh, that's my dogs just reminding us, like, who's in charge.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gloss Mountains. Guy found a 90-pound gold nugget.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 90 pounds?
Yeah.
How much would that be worth?
I mean, it depends on the purity of it and all this other stuff, but, like, enough to retire on. Like, well, maybe
probably a good chunk of change.
Enough to get that RV to drive
exactly,
around.
Exactly, yeah, and take 3 weeks off.
As I was learning about this, like, there's tons of not just, like, records. Like, you can go to Mexico City and stuff, and you can dig through the archives. And they're like, we sent an expedition up in 1830. We sent an expedition up in 1740. And went and did this mining.
Mm-hmm.
Which there's one of the records from one of the French explorers coming through. And he marked down, like, there's a bunch of Spanish miners up here and just doing this mining expedition.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuff. And then 1830s, too, also a guy coming through. And they kept hearing all this thunder, but there was no clouds or anything. And so they were talking to the Kiowa about it. And the Kiowa were like, they're out there mining. We don't know what they're doing because they hadn't really experienced gunpowder too much. But they were blasting for gold mining.
That's amazing.
Which, of course, both the stories from the 1700s and 1800s, the Kiowa would kind of hang out and watch while these guys mine for, a year or two or three, and then as soon as they all pack up, they just swamp them and kill them and take everything.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, like, and people are like, and the Kiowa folks have records of this, too, like oral history. Like, that's what my grandfather told me. And, and they're like, that's just legends. And, like, no, you get into Mexico City,
for real.
You see the survivors, and they're like, we got attacked. Like, all 3 years wasted.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh,
out in the Wichitas, and then Devil's Canyon, out up in Kiowa County, very famous for having a Spanish settlement. So different versions of it say that they came up the Red River, and they had a small, probably 20-30 foot boat. They sailed it up there and ended up beaching it, and then ultimately putting it in a cave and filling it up with gold, and then they were just going to wait for the rains to come again so they could leave, which I guess they could leave this year, but which, previous to a few years ago, you can't sail a boat up the Red River.
Right.
Like, come on. But no, you could absolutely.
You could.
No problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were traces up there. Like, you can go archaeologically and see where their camp was and where buildings had been built. Supposedly you can still find a few trees with carvings in them that have, turtle symbols and different things of kind of recognizing. If you had the map, you could tell where stuff was going to be. People found stuff out in Devil's Canyon.
Man.
Supposedly it's haunted by that last attack. You hear Kiowa folks writing and getting ready to attack. And lots of Spanish EVPs.
Right.
And in, I believe it was the 60s, they had a big rainstorm and washed out a bunch. And so this kid went hiking up there afterward and found a bunch of skeletons wearing conquistador-style armor.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, which freaked him out.
That'll freak me out, too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So apparently somewhere, it's not a very big canyon, so you could probably find it.
Okay.
I mean, if you really want to do some treasure hunting.
Yeah.
You just got to find, because, of course, Kiowa attacking, the miners aren't soldiers, so they're not going to be able to
defend themselves.
So they just stash everything in a cave and run, and then, you know, blast the cave entrance so it covers up, and so start some digging, and you might be able to find something.
Yeah, you'll be able to go on that trip.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're willing to try it. One of the legends is that it's called Devil's Canyon because as they were panicking, like, you know, God's abandoned us, so they appealed to the devil, like, like, we'll give you this gold.
Oh, wow.
Just let us get out of here.
Yeah.
And so now whenever anybody's going after the gold treasures, the devil is the one who's protecting it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Which is,
there's another story. We should... Yeah, we can do it. Oklahoma Anthology. That would be fun.
That would be amazing.
The museum director down in Hinton was explaining, a lot of the legends, as they were translated from Native American languages into English, they have a lot of words we don't, we have a lot of words they don't, so it's never 100%. So a lot of the stuff they'd say, like Spirit Mound or something, and it would be more... elemental or
right,
something. Yeah. And we'd be like, well, we don't really have elementals in modern English, so we'll just call them Devil's Canyon.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Which there's another Devil's Canyon, which is probably haunted, but I don't have as any good stories to it. But,
yeah.
It was a weird history of outside of Hinton. It was a big stop on the California Road.
Okay.
Which another weird thing, talk about the 49ers going out to California. One of the main thoroughfares was basically I-40.
Wow.
Just a little bit south.
Okay.
So folks rode through Oklahoma all the time.
Yeah.
Just never really thought about it. And they would stop in Devil's Canyon. It was protected and had lots of nice water and stuff. And then they'd move on. And then later it was an outlaw roost. And then later it was a camp. And like, it's probably a season of American Horror Story in there. Just all these generations.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely. So. There's got to be.
Oh, yeah. So tons of Devil's Canyons out there. Out these two. Which, speaking of that California road, another story that I'd never heard, but kind of local travel for legend tripping for locals out in Hinton, kind of maybe Weatherford area too, going out to the mountains, which the nickname for the southwest part of the state, the Sky Island Country.
Okay. Right?
Which, how cool.
That is really,
Island. Yeah. Yeah, there's these big plateaus, which geologically, that's where the inland sea kind of washed everything out, like these big... kind of pillars, which super cool to look at.
Yeah.
And every single one of them's got a name, because when you're mapping something, you get to name it. And
like, yeah.
Yeah. Which famously the easternmost is called Rock Mary, because the guys, the military train that was coming through originally mapping everything, one of the officers brought his family, and his oldest daughter was Mary.
Okay.
And these, all the young corporals and stuff wanted to get with Mary, so they had to impress her. So these two guys, as soon as they spotted it, like bolted and raced to see who could claim it first to name it after her.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
That's funny.
Which I can't remember. I don't think he ended up marrying her after all. But still, I mean, what a way to impress a girl named
No kidding. Yeah. That's so much better than swiping right. Like, that's so much better. Yeah.
Not bad. and a couple of them do have some spooky names and stories attached. There's Ghost Mound, which I believe this is the right one, but they say there's a figure of a Native American wearing traditional garb spotted up there time and again, which news stories of this would pop up from time to time, and there was a lady who liked the story and wanted to do something with it, and she hired a ghostwriter, this guy, H.P. Lovecraft, to put a story together for her. About
I
it,
so they know that. Up.
Yeah, so there's this
that's cool.
Oklahoma connection, H.P. Lovecraft, and
that's crazy.
Yeah, he hijacked it, and he's like, oh yeah, there's a headless zombie out there, but he's actually defending this entire empire built underground that worships a giant frog.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So no,
I had no idea
Oklahoma connection there, but right. Yeah, but like,
but it inspired that story. That's crazy.
So, yeah, so H.P. Lovecraft cool. digger. digging that short story. It's decent. He's a little long-winded for my taste.
Yeah.
But man, can that guy world build?
Yeah. It's true.
And then there's the story of Dead Woman Mound, which arguably possibly the oldest ghost story in Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah. So from the newspapers I was digging out, kind of putting things in historical order to see, you know, what happens when, and like, well, what's the first ghost story in Oklahoma? And it gets to the point of, well, how do you define Oklahoma, right? And if we just take it geographically, I mean, a lot of the Native American stories go back thousands of years. Which the Dead Woman Mound story, when tribes were moved in the 1800s, was already an ancient story.
Yeah.
And they had a big problem out in Cheyenne Arapaho area of when Native Americans got their allotments so that they could condense everybody and halt the land run. People who got the allotment nearby that were like, no, draw again. I refuse. Like, I can't.
Wow.
And they're just like... and it made newspaper, like, like it was big enough that...
like nobody wanted it.
They refused to absolutely take it. So which the story there is that there was a young lady who had a lover, which different versions of the story was he took off and ran off with somebody else. Other versions, I like this one, it's a little more romantic, but he and she wanted to get married, but he didn't have very much wealth, so he wanted to, so he was going to go out on a hunting expedition, gather some wild horses and things, and really, you know, get enough that he could impress her father so that they could get married. And so he took off, never came back, so who knows what could have happened out there, but she always kept watch for him, and she would, of course, climb to the top of the mountain, because you could see highest up there, and the story goes that her father came to check on her one time, and kind of storm rolling in, sort of nasty weather, and she didn't hear him come up behind her, and he startled her. She slipped and then fell. And,
but that her spirits, much more romantic and tragic, and I like that one too.
Which the cool one about that, as I was talking to the director over at the Hinton Museum, he actually got a chance to go up there and got some photographs of it. But there is this stone formation that looks like a human foot slipping. Like it is, you can see the toes and the heels, and like it.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. That's real weird.
Yeah. So. That could have been her mark, I guess.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
and then, of course, the ghost, too, on top, appearing to this day, they say. So wow. At least four.
That is, oh my gosh, I really, really like that. That one's cool. We probably have time for about another one, and I'm going to leave it up to you.
So what any ghost story?
Any ghost story.
Any ghost story. Well, we have told some really old stories, and we've told some really new stories with the batfish and everything.
Yes.
I guess... one story that really surprised me happened, what, about 4 miles from where I grew up, outside of Pond Creek, up north of Enid, and which we lived on the south side of Medford, so we would always just go to Enid for everything. And so, even though our mailing address is Pond Creek, like we went, you know, maybe once a summer to go swimming there when we wanted to use the high dive instead of going to Kremlin.
Right.
So, but met some folks up there, and they told me. The cult that moved into Jefferson Park. And I was like, what? Because I would have been, this was Satanic Panic time, 80s, 90s.
Oh, sort of
So I was there. Like, I'm probably not conscious of anything. Other than, you know, gummy bears and stuff. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I guess, would have been really big.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you can talk to any of the old timers up there and they'll tell you all kinds of stories. But Jefferson Park, just this little, now it's a ghost town, but. Back then had a lot of rental houses, and all of them got rented at one time, and all these people moved in, and they were kind of weird, a little standoffish. You know, they'd come into the post office if they had to, but never talked to anybody. And I was like, okay, well, you know,
this is a cult.
We'll try to be friendly with them. What really got the cult stories going was cattle mutilations started popping up, and which, I mean, we had coyotes and stuff, but like from the newspaper articles and just from talking to folks, like, you can tell when something's a coyote attack.
Right, yeah,
and they're not
going
to attack cattle, because there's a lot easier stuff to eat out there. And especially once the sheriff started going out and looking at these things, like, no, that's clearly a knife cut.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of organs left there, but they took specifically the liver, or they took specifically the heart and stuff. And then that got pieced together with the quote-unquote Black Sabbath calendar and all this. And so...
I love Satanic Panic stories.
So everybody got real freaked out, and he's like, oh, they're probably coming down from Kansas or something like that. And I'm like, are they?
Yeah.
So one of my coworkers at OCCC told me a really good story, which made it into the book because he was very encouraging to, like, you know, get this get the stories out. So his father farming up there, and they had one of their neighbors come and help. They were doing a bunch of terracing, trying to get field stuff worked out. And one night the sun was starting to go down, and he was like, "All right, guys, you know, I'm heading home." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "You got 40 minutes worth of work left. Like, let's just get it done."
Yeah.
And you're like, "No, nope, sorry, I got to get home before dark." And they're like, "Ah, yeah. Oh, come on, man." Like, you know, I'm just like, "Nope, I'll be here first thing in the morning, first light, no problem." And they just went on and finally said, "No, I will not be out after dark. Last time I was out after dark, he was driving by the old pumping station, which you can still see out there, and walking through the ditch were all these people wearing black robes, each one carrying a torch."
Yikes.
Yeah. And he just, I mean, we were driving past, he stopped, backed up, found it, you know, I mean, you're going to
that's weird.
Do a mile
drive
around, but like.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah, so he came back first thing in the morning and finished it up. And time and again, people would say they'd see weird lights and how things going on the pumping station. And
I do not blame him at all. If I had seen that, I would not be out after dark ever again.
And then one day they all moved out. Just everybody packed up.
Like all at the same time. That's super weird. Yeah. Oh, that's super weird. It gives me the chills.
So all the stories out there, like, you know, that's right next to home, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
So,
that's amazing. Yeah. I cannot wait to get a copy of this. I'm super, super excited. And do you want to tell everybody again where they can get it and where to follow you all over the internet and all of that?
Sure thing. So Haunted Oklahoma, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, find your local library. Always happy to get those requests in because librarians are awesome and more people can share them too.
Yes.
So,
and that helps authors whenever you do request their book at a library. It does help us. Yeah.
And you think, oh, well, it's just one library, but librarians talk.
Like, yes. They
get
talk.
These books in and they're going to be like, you're going to like this. So talk to your librarians. They're awesome folks. So for me, check out jeffprovine.com, Twitter at jeffprovine, Facebook / author Jeff Provine, and we'll be doing more ghost tours in Oklahoma City and Norman.
I'm so excited.
And someday a statewide tour.
Yes, absolutely.
So hold on for that.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys follow me at Erieokie on Facebook. Instagram's the same, and the Facebook group is Erieokies. And I think that's about all I've got for you guys. Thank you so much again for being here, Jeff. This was so much fun. I always love having you on. So, that's about it. Y'all stay spooky. We'll be right back.